Hello and welcome to Radio EduTalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to today's show Gillian Hamilton and Fergal Kelly, and we're going to be talking for the next 20 minutes or so around the theme of developing teacher leadership. So Gillian and Fergal, welcome back to EduTalk.
Great to be here, David.
And I'll just say at this point, if you've got any questions or comments for tonight's guests, then you can email edutalker, that's edutalkr@hotmail.co.uk, or you can pop something up on Twitter and include the hashtag edutalk. So if I come to Gillian first then, Fergal, could you just remind listeners about your present roles in Scottish education?
Absolutely. I'm the Chief Executive of the Scottish College for Educational Leadership, David, and I've just celebrated my second scale birthday in the role.
And I'm one of the lead specialists at the Scottish College for Educational Leadership, with a particular focus on teacher leadership.
Now, listeners might remember, I think it was just yourself, Fergal, 6 months ago you were on talking to John. And I'm just wondering, starting with yourself, Fergal, can you just tell us about how the whole developing teacher leadership agenda has moved forward in the intervening months, and maybe talk a little bit about the report that you produced for Scale?
Yeah, so I think when I was last talking to John on EduTalk, Scale had asked me to do an engagement on teacher leadership, so I put together a workshop and offered it out across Scotland and went out and spoke to as many teachers and others as possible about what this thing is. And I just was coming to the end of that, I think, when I spoke to John. And after that, I put together the findings, tried to synthesise it down into a report and pick out some key themes that arose, and we shared that just after Easter. And we held a conference, our first national conference, with the theme of teacher leadership. And so we shared the report and also explored the themes with the attendees at the conference.
And Gillian, where does this the developing teacher leadership work fit within the wider work of Scale?
It's a really important part of our work, David. When we established Scale, we were really clear that we wanted it to be a national organisation that supported teachers across the whole of Scotland and across all levels of the profession. So whilst that was very much our vision at the beginning, our first pieces of work were very much focused at school leadership level. You remember me on talking about the fellowship programme, the development of the inter-headship programme. So we were really keen that our next major piece of work should involve teachers across Scotland. And we were really keen, as Fergal alluded to there, that we didn't want to be sitting in Glasgow developing a programme about teacher leadership or activity around that. We were really keen to hear what teachers in Scotland wanted from Scale as part of their professional learning, what they thought teacher leadership was about, and how they felt we could best meet their professional learning needs. So a really important part of our work. Fergal did a fantastic job on the scoping exercise, and he'll talk a bit, I'm sure, about the programme work that we're now taking forward.
And just continuing with yourself, Gillian, where do you feel Scottish education is presently with the notion or even the definition of teacher leadership?
I think we've still got a way to go. One of the misconceptions that we often pick up about teacher leadership is that it's about preparation for promotion, that teacher leadership, professional learning, is for those who are looking to move up a career ladder. That's not what we're really keen to promote at Scale. We see teacher leadership as about high-quality learning and teaching, about engaging with others, about sharing that professional learning, about inquiry being at the heart of practice. So we see teacher leadership very much for every teacher in Scotland.
And Fergal, at this point, I wonder if you can kind of take us through, maybe not all, but some of the themes that emerged from your Developing Teacher Leadership report, and maybe tell us how that's kind of fitted into this prototype teacher leadership programme.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, so I tried to distill some themes that arose, because I managed to amazingly speak to over 1,000 folk doing the engagement work, and it was fascinating how the same sort of things came up over and over again, even though, you know, I was almost in England at points, and in Shetland at other points, you couldn't really get further apart. And but some very similar themes still arising. And I think one of the main ones for me was the enthusiasm out there for this agenda. I was quite surprised, to be honest, how big of a positive response there was, not just in terms of people arranging workshops, but also people turning up to workshops in surprisingly large numbers in the middle of winter. But then once they were there, really positively engaging with the whole agenda, which was really fantastic from our perspective, because it showed that there was a real appetite for this rather than something that was being done to people. But there was, you know, there were obvious messages around that if we're serious about this, there needs to be focus in terms of how time and resources are used within the current system, and that so in order for this to occur, it's going to require everyone at every level thinking about what they're doing in order to support this work. But one of the big messages was around the opportunities that teachers have to actually develop as leaders of pedagogy. They're between, you know, when teachers finish their probationary year, there's a sense that the probationary year in across the country now has a real quality of support. But beyond that, unless teachers progress to masters, there's a real difference in provision across the country. And lots of teachers felt that they needed more or better opportunities to develop as leaders of practice, and those opportunities needed to be open to all and available to all. And so those are some of the key themes that are underpinning our prototyping approach. We're trying to make sure that this is an opportunity that for professional learning that perhaps isn't available to everybody. But that our version of it is as much as possible. That's what we're trying to work on at present.
And Gillian, just picking some of the kind of quotes out from Fergo's report and other literature within SCEL, you know, you talk about school senior leadership teams should be supporting the development of leadership skills in all of their staff, and so that, you know, that's within a school or within authority. And you also talk about SCEL offering events, masterclasses, and further enhancing professional learning activities. So I just wonder if you can give us a flavour of what has happened recently through yourself and through schools and local authorities, and what's on the horizon.
Yeah, absolutely, David. And I think a really important message, just picking up from what Fergal was saying, you know, the engagement with teachers and working across the profession, we've been equally keen to engage with school leaders, with local authority staff with responsibility for professional learning, about building that capacity. So what conditions are required to support teachers in doing that? And Fergal and I, actually, this is our first double act of the week. We have a second double act in West Lothian on Thursday, speaking to all head teachers there about teacher leadership, about their own professional learning, and how they can support teacher leadership in and across their schools. So that's a really important piece of the work. I also want to pick up on something Fergal said there, and then link it to something that's happening just now. Because one of our aims at SCEL is that you can engage programmes and activity no matter where you live and no matter where you work in Scotland. And that's an easy thing to say, but it's quite a hard thing to do in practice. So the prototype work that Fergal's been taking forward includes a lot of training and using GLOW to support that engagement, so that no matter where you're living, you can engage with the programmes. And in terms of what's happening just now, we've recently set up, you might remember me talking about our plan for this, but we've recruited 7 regional network leaders who across Scotland are responsible for taking forward SCEL's work across groups of local authorities. And we're in the process now of arranging a whole number of regional events over the next 6 months, looking at different aspects of leadership. So in some of the local authorities, there will be there will be a specific focus on teacher leadership. But equally, just next week, we've got an event in Glasgow, supporting Glasgow, Renfrewshire, East Renfrewshire, and Inverclyde teachers looking at middle leadership. And we've got Carol Campbell leading sessions as well as the SCALE team on that day. So we're trying hard now to move beyond that national organisation to be working at a local level.
And Fergal, just coming back to your recent report, a couple of the themes I think, or a couple of the issues you touched on, you know, through the research you were doing in engaging with stakeholders was around issues of equity and confidence. And you know, my reading of that was that possibly within schools, the opportunity to get involved in some kind of leadership work or training was still very much in the gift of those in promoted posts. Is that my kind of correct reading of it?
Yeah, I mean, the word clique came up a lot. there was lots of people talking about the fact that the opportunities that are available, they don't always hear about, or it's not open to everybody, that people are being selected, and there was a feeling that it's the same people over and over again. So confidence is interesting that you raised that in the same point, because that came up a lot as well, because people felt that quite often they would say that if they were approached, they would say yes, but they don't feel confident enough to put themselves forward. Confidence came up a lot. I mean, after sort of issues of time and money, confidence was right up there as one of the big issues facing this agenda. And that I think is tied into that same issue in many ways, actually.
And I know that some of the people you were working with were talking about the need to add something back into the system, so something to aspire to. Obviously, we've got the fellowship programme now, and I know there's certain people within the system would want to see Charter Teacher come back. But what do you think it looks like for yourself then? What needs to be added to the system, and what kind of models of professional learning need to exist? Is it around the sharing the practice, the kind of teach meet model, or do you feel there's a real appetite for sort of more formal accredited courses that prepare teachers for a teacher leadership role?
I'll touch on the sharing thing first. That came up a lot as well. Teachers want more opportunities to share practice, and but that's part of the reason why at SCALE we're trying to support and encourage more Teach Meets, such as Teach Meet Connect at the Scottish Learning Festival next week, more Pedigree events, of which there's quite a few coming up in the next few weeks, including Pedigree Muckle in Glasgow on the 1st of October. So we're trying to encourage and support more of that sort of activity. But there was a demand for formal professional learning. And, you know, when I talk here, it's very broad brush because, you know, there's lots of people with different motives and different desires and what it is that they want to see. The long-form professional learning is definitely in demand. People would like challenging professional learning. There was lots of comments about that it doesn't always need to have master's credits. Some people feel that they would like a bit more variety in the mix, that they would like some professional learning that is a pre-master's, en route to master's modules, that they need something that bridges the gap a little bit. And in terms of Charter Teacher, that did come up a few times. And I've sort of bracketed that under recognition in the themes in the report. But what was fascinating was that the issues of recognition included things like Charter Teacher and Assistant Principal Teacher roles, but it actually extended down to being thanked for what you're doing or having someone showing an interest in what you're doing. And that came up actually more frequently, which was quite touching at times, that, you know, people were just talking about, I would just love it if somebody showed an interest in what I was doing. But obviously there were some people that felt that there should be financial reward. But, you know, it's complex, all of that, because, you know, cards on the table, I was on the Charter Teacher Programme and was 5/6 of the way through it and before I completed my Master's. But there were you know, sometimes there were issues raised around, actually, because what we're talking about here with teacher leadership is all teachers being leaders of practice. We're not talking about that there are teachers and there are teacher leaders. That, you know, we're not creating a new category of teacher in the system. And so there's a slightly different emphasis there to the message that was behind Charter Teacher.
Yeah, I think that's come through very clearly in what Gillian's had to say so far in the show. We've had a couple of comments on Twitter. Gillian, Alistair McPhee likes your statement that teacher leadership is for all teachers in Scotland, and Barbara van der Meulen says it's good that you clarify that teacher leadership or what teacher leadership is about, and that it's not preparation for promotion.
Yeah, and I think it's really important, David, that what we build is choice in professional learning, because at different stages in people's lives, they maybe want to be engaging in accredited master's level learning, university programmes, but equally, when you think of the framework as one piece of skills development, we've got professional learning activities that are self-directed. Fergal was talking there about a whole range of pedagogy activity. We've got sustained programmes. I think it's really important that we have a breadth of professional learning, but what needs to be common throughout that is that it's really high quality. And picking up, going right back to where Fergal started, you know, he talked about the enthusiasm of teachers who engaged in the process. If professional learning is really good, teachers are hungry for it. The challenge is if they give up really valuable time and they don't enjoy it, they don't feel it's worthwhile, they don't feel that it has an impact in practice, then rightly they feel that that's a waste of their really valuable time. So at scale, we need to make sure that as we develop and extend our programmes and activity, that that's a common thread throughout.
And Gillian, apologies, I should have really contextualised this at the start, but you know, obviously all of what we've been talking about, the developing teacher leadership agenda, fits entirely within the framework for educational leadership. So maybe for some of our listeners who aren't quite aware of that context, could you briefly take us through the framework?
Yep. So the framework is, we often describe it as the spine of Scales work. It's an online resource with an increasing range of professional learning activities, and it works across teacher, middle school and system. But we see it as a resource for, if I talk about teacher leadership for a second, that teachers would be engaging with to support their professional learning, but equally school leaders will be engaging with it to look at how they support teacher leadership. System leaders will be engaging. So actually, wherever you're working in the system, there's support and resources. And at each of those levels that I talked about, we have an increasing range of PLAs, professional learning activities. And that's, I'm thinking of the circles and can't think of a name for them, Fergal. It's a professional, an activity that splits into probably about 8 areas of activity that teachers can engage with. And I think the beauty of it is it includes direct links to whatever the activity is. There's direct links to research, to EBSCO via GTC, to resources available from other national organisations to support the learning, to video footage, to thought pieces, so that a lot of the legwork is done for teachers engaging with the professional learning activities. And the team at Scale are working to enhance those activities, to enhance the resources that support them. And we're also now linking to an increasing number of endorsed programmes, so professional learning programmes that exist across Scotland that support teacher learning in those areas. So we've got about 7 or 8 programmes in the framework now, and a whole number of them planned for endorsement panels over the coming months.
Now we're just coming into the last couple of minutes of tonight's show. We've got another couple of comments that I'll bring in a moment, but I'll just remind listeners that you're listening to Gillian Hamilton and Fergal Kelly, and we're talking about developing teacher leadership. I'll just remind you that if you want to get in touch, probably the best or the most popular way is Twitter this evening. So if you pop something up with the hashtag EduTalk, it'd be interesting if a few of our live listeners tonight might consider posting a question to Gillian or Fergal, in addition to the excellent comments that are coming in. The last thing from myself, really, first of all, with yourself, Fergal, you know, what personally around this agenda? What are your hopes for the coming year or two?
Well, that's quite a question, David. I mean, it's an interesting one because I was at an event today in Glasgow. It was the Scottish Professional Learning Network, and the focus of the day was inquiry and practitioner inquiry. And there were some really passionate presentations about the power of inquiry to support teachers to develop their own practice, to be confident in their own practice, and most importantly of all, to have really meaningful impact for children and young people. To raise attainment and so much more, and I think I felt this for a long time that we could make significant differences to the lives of children and young people and to teachers and schools if we were able to support more teachers to develop as leaders of pedagogy through inquiry, and that's what my passion has been for some time. Actually, I think, you know, before I joined Scale that was my passion, and it continues to be so. And I'm lucky now that I've got an opportunity to hopefully impact that more than I was doing. So from my prior role, I don't know if that's
No, absolutely, Fergan. We all know how much of a passion you have in that area. What about yourself, Gillian?
I think building on what Fergal said, the programme that Fergal's leading just now is genuinely a prototype programme. So Fergal's working with the teachers who are engaging with a number of critical friends working across the system to lead the programme, but also to develop it in that collaboration. So I'm hoping and I'm sure that we'll get really positive feedback about that impact from the teachers who are engaging. I would like to see, following the prototype, significant expansion of that programme so that as many teachers who are looking to engage in the programme have access to it over the next few years, and that our learning from that impacts on our programme development across teacher middle school and system. Often in organisations like Scale, that learning would come from senior leadership programmes that would drip down to teacher leadership. This work is doing it the other way around. The engagement exercise, the significant engagement with teachers, will really inform the next step in Scale's development, and I think that's really important.
Fergal's kindly posted via Twitter a link.
I'm impressed that Fergal can tweet at the same time.
Well, you noticed he hesitated with his previous answer, and that was because he was tweeting at the exact same time. There's no hiding place. So if you go to the hashtag, if you put hashtag edutalk in, you'll be able to get the link to the Fergal's Developing Teacher Leadership Report. But of course you can go to Scale, that's SCEL Scotland, all one word, .org.uk, and you'll also find the report there. We've not had any comments or questions for weeks. I was just going to say we haven't had comments or questions for weeks, Fergal, and now we've got lots. So you can save a bit of time, Fergal, because you're actually reading it at the exact same time as me. So
I'm feeling the pressure to check Twitter now at the same time.
On you go, Fergal, if you want to respond.
Shared Farmer's comment, if that's all right, David.
On you go, yeah.
Yeah, so he's mentioned that you know, teachers need space to collaborate in effective professional learning, and assuming by space he means time and opportunity. And what was fascinating today at the professional learning day, because there was lots of different presentations about different people's approaches to leading inquiry and supporting teachers to develop inquiry. And there was a comment at my table at the end of the day. We were thinking about what we learned and what we found out. And there was someone at my table who hadn't taken part much in this world before. And their comment was they were amazed that people were able to make time for this to happen. So in the current system, in all these different contexts, people are making time for this to occur. And I think that's a really important message, mm-hmm. that, yes, they do need that. But that's not impossible. People are doing it. And I think it's really important to hold on to that message that we're not talking about something that's impossible. And a really strong theme today was, this isn't an extra. This is the way of, for me, this was the way I actually coped with the complexity of curriculum for excellence, by giving me a structure and a process to focus on what was needed for the learners in my care. And so I think it's really, that's what I just wanted to pick up on Stuart's comment.
Well, time's got the better of us, folks, and I'll just finish on a final comment from Barbara, who was in touch earlier on. She has great thanks for Fergal and Gillian from pulling her away from a certain bake-off programme. She much preferred the quality discussion on EduTalk. Yeah, like we've done really well. So I'll just wrap up by saying thank you so much to Gillian and Fergal for giving up their valuable time this evening. It's been a fascinating show. I'm delighted it's generated some comment online, and you can continue that discussion, and anything that you send our way we'll be sure to pass on. And thanks to everybody for engaging online. Gillian, just to finish up, best place to go, the Skill website, what else can we find in there that might be of interest to listeners?
You'll find all of our events that are taking place. So we've got an events page that's increasingly full of exciting activity. Advance notice of major teacher leadership conference in May next year that people might want to find out about. We're also supporting the collaboration tour by Lynn Sharrett and Beate Plonge as part of their work. They'll find it there, as well as a whole host of regional and pedigree events.
And Inquire, Connect, Engage.
That's brilliant, guys. Thanks again, and best wishes for the future.